You're listening to episode 3,
Mark,
of the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. We reflect on last round's fall from grace, analyse the first price changes, and look ahead to round 3. Welcome to the NAB AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm Roy, I coach Destroy. This is Warney,
coach of the Warn Dogs.
Also here with Calvin.
Coach of Calvinator.
And boys, I don't know about you guys, but it was a massive fall from grace for me in round 2. I tried to play it safe and it was nothing but a disaster. Warn Dog, how did you go?
Well, I'm actually feeling a little bit sorry for you blokes at the moment because I copped a fair bit of carnage too, but somehow scraped over that magical 2,000 figure. If you scored over 2,000 this week, you did pretty well. So I got over it just by 53 points, 2,053, which held me in the top 100 after our great start last week. Calvin, you were next.
I slopped around with 1867.
We used to do things on our shows where we'd talk about what happened in the year because that's what the scores normally were. And we haven't had to do that because we've been 2,000 plus scorers all the time. So what happened in 1867,
I think the wheel was invented. No, I got no idea. But it was an absolute disaster from Team Calvinator. I'm a poor coach. I need to really lift this week. But as I'm sure Destroyer is about to explain to us, I chased a few people that I thought would have gone massive, and they did, what, half that.
They weren't massive.
If half. Well, if you think you don't know what happened in 1867, I don't even know if the world was around in 1753. No. I couldn't even get it out of my mouth. It was unbelievable. I have never witnessed so much carnage happen to one of my teams before. I actually tried to play a safe round to maintain top 100 ranking, and I got, yes, you heard correctly, 1753, a drop of about 500.
Is there a crisis meeting at Team Destroy at the moment?
A drop of 500? It was even more than that. Is there a crisis meeting? Yes, there is. I would like to say there's heads falling everywhere, but unfortunately, two trades.
We're only down to two trades a week now.
Really
picky. Why
didn't
they do unlimited trades again this week?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I need it. We're going to have a look at our plus three, negative three, negative three, negative three, negative three, negative three. Now, last week we said that we struggled to find any sort of negative. I don't think it's going to be the case this week.
Boys, certainly not.
Who's your plus three, Warren?
Well, let's start with a positive. Mine has to be Tom Hickey.
Now, oh, I reckon.
That mid-price ruck combo, it did allow me to go some premiums in other positions, which some of those guys were failures, but it was a win. Basically, two dudes in my ruck lineup getting 100. There wouldn't have been too many around that did that, even if they did pick a premium guy. So I've got to take that. He did get injured, went back out and battled on. So
he
fingers
did, so
crossed.
He's gutsy as well. I like
fingers
that.
Fingers crossed he's
will
out
he
there.
Be right for this week?
I think he will be, but that's just me playing it
he's
safe.
He's a nervous
at the
dog. Isn't he?
I'm very nervous about it.
I would be,
it.
And I'll tell you why people would be nervous about that, because he is going brilliantly, but at that price with all your other money locked away, there's no straight swap solution, I wouldn't think. But he was really good. He could have scored. Basically, the comparison came down to what Cox was going to do versus Melbourne versus Hickey.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not only did he beat him, he was so much cheaper. It was absolute
flogging. He made 49 grand this week,
too. It was brilliant. It's a brilliant pick. Calvin.
Well, my three plus three goes to Steve. Give me pig status Johnson.
Oh, well, I think I'd like to second the nomination.
Well, I tell you what, does pig status not even exist now?
No, it exists.
It's there. It's there.
It exists.
It's historical.
It's just not being used.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Steve Johnson, a couple of piggish things I noticed about him. Ball going out on the full. Steve running 50 metres flat out, pushing teammates out of the way to get that kick in. A teammate getting a free kick, I think it was out on the full again, from within goal range, impossible angle. Steve tried to do some sort of thing where he was pretending to argue with the umpire while convincing Duncan to give him a handball.
He's
taken pig status to
153 points.
Top scorer of the round.
Huge.
And equaled what Watson did in round one.
Yep, it's amazing.
Yep. Massive. He's looking to become a fat pig.
Did you find a positive?
I did.
You did find one.
Yeah,
good,
just.
Excellent.
And it came in Dom Tyson.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Dom.
Yes.
While all the big, expensive players fell around you, you still managed to stand up in that pathetic team playing high possession footy and get me something to smile about. So, Dom Tyson, plus good. Three.
Yeah, he made 83 grand. He was the highest increasing player of price over the round. So
I'd expect nothing
what
less.
What an absolute machine. All right, time for negative threes. I'm going to be quick with mine because I think we've got some more to come from you guys. mine was, well, I had a fair few, so I'm not even going to say that I'm bloody a genius coach or anything like that at the moment. Because
well, you were to us a couple of minutes ago, but yeah, carry on.
I said I was. But Matthew Pavlich, it's a harsh one because that was a pretty tough gig for him over there at Subiaco. It was wet. It was hideous. But he hardly touched the thing. It was pretty average. And so 44 points wasn't very much at all. There's a lot of other blokes there that I could be talking about, but you probably will cover those in your chat. So, Calvin.
Look, I'll tell you who I give mine to. Last week, I gave it to Dean Cox.
Yeah.
Okay, and I gave it to Dean Cox because my team was brilliant.
It was.
And I gave it to Dean Cox because he had 89 points at three-quarter time, and then he just sort of putted along and got to his 100.
Yeah.
Well, he's continued to bloody putt along.
Hasn't he?
And just do nothing.
He didn't touch it in the
51 points! 51 points against Melbourne.
Yeah.
I could get 51 points easily against Melbourne.
Calvin,
yes.
Because you gave him the negative three last week,
yes.
There's a definition of karma in the dictionary.
Well, what did I do to him?
It says the sum of a person's actions in this and previous states of existence viewed as deciding their fate for future existences.
All right,
round one to round two.
Okay,
there you go.
Fair enough. I will take the responsibility of Cox's score on my head, but I won't be doing it for Matthew Wright.
You got it. Cox on your head. Oh, that was good.
All right, yeah.
Some of your best.
Yeah, it was.
Roy, all right, here we go. Which page of your team sheet are you
drum roll, please. And the nominations are Corey Enright, but, you know, busted leg, so I'll give him a free one. Birch, pathetic. Wright, pathetic. Caddy, pathetic. Treloar, all of a sudden we've got a national dodgeball team here. Cox, we just spoke about him, but when you go and put a bit of responsibility in someone and expect them to lift. Never had him in my team. Never will again after this week. Scott Selwood. Oh my God. He has not scored this low since 2010 in round 17. Not that I looked it up after this. He was disgusting, an absolute disgrace. Yes, he'll probably come out and play well this week. And I'll, you know, regret getting him out. But watching him play, I cannot see how he will even score above 50. Because it was disgusting. He didn't even tackle. He just ripped people's heads off.
Yep.
He used to tackle a lot.
Why does
he just do it on their heads now?
Well, last year, like, people, even early this year, wanted a pig nomination. Yep, they did.
He increased 10 points every year.
He does, and he could do it again, some idiot wrote in the record. It was me! Oh, my God. Now, we've got the number one player in the world on the line.
How do we do this? How do we actually find these blokes?
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, do you know how? Because I've tutored this one.
What do you mean?
I know, exactly right. So he does as I say, not as I do. Brad, welcome to the show, mate.
How's it going, boys?
Yeah, not as well as you.
Yeah.
Firstly, congratulations, mate. You're, what, grade 9 and you're sitting on top of the world. How does it feel?
Oh, I'm pumped, really. I wasn't expecting this at all. I thought I went quite bad this week, but yeah, must enough.
Well, compared to Destroy's score the other week, mate, I'm sure you would have been a lot of pressure in the classroom. Question I've got for you, how does that change the approach you take into this week? Like, you're sitting on top of the world, are you more cautious or are you still full on attack?
I'm definitely more nervous because I'd love to keep the spot, but obviously that probably won't happen. I'm definitely, cautious of my trades this week. I've got to make sure I do very good trades and...
All right, what sort of moves are you looking at then this week? You don't want to really give too much away to the rest of us plebs, but what moves are you looking at?
Depending if Enright's injured or not, 4 years, but depends if he doesn't play this week.
So I'll who are you go, looking in to get in for Enright? Because he probably won't play, I don't reckon.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor, but if he doesn't play, who's going to be your replacement for him?
Either Cade Simpson, maybe. He's been playing pretty good.
Yeah, nice. Now I've got Cade Simpson. I fully recommend him. He was good last week. But who were the big guys that stood up for you on the weekend? Who were the ones that kept you, well, right up there, because you did pretty well last week, that got you to number one?
Scott Pendlebury, Nick Rewald, Paul Chapman, Dom Tyson, Joe Watson.
Nice. All the big guns then.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it must be nice having good players to look at. That's pretty cool. Is there anyone, this is something I'll be able to relate to, is there anyone you had that really sucked?
Well, Enright was injured, but I suppose you can't really count him.
Who else? Do you go any unique players that sort of let you down?
Matthew Wright.
Yeah, and you also had Collingwood player up forward, didn't you?
Big old Travis Cloak.
Yeah. Are you going to get rid of him?
I suppose, but he did all right.
Yeah, he was solid. All right, mate. Well, when you've worked out your trades this week, come and let me know so I can copy you or something. Them, yeah. Good luck, mate. Hope you're at the top for a long time.
I won't tell you them now, then.
Yeah, I know. All right, we should know by now that prices are changing every week, and we've seen our first lot. Warney, who are the big movers?
Well, as we said a little bit earlier, you're plus three, Roy. Dom Tyson, he's the big boy. He moved the most. Well, he actually didn't move the most. He went up the most. That was by $83,220.
Cash cow?
Oh, massive. He is a massive cash cow. I tell you what, 35% of people have got him. I would have thought a few more would have had that.
All?
But
is
now,
that all?
If you want to get him now, he's over 300 grand. So still got a fair bit of growth because he's gone back-to-back hundreds, hasn't he?
Yep. Actually, I just called him a cash cow. He is probably my captain, potentially.
He's a keeper.
Yeah.
All right, then we saw Tom Langdon. So he was the 135K mid defender.
Yep.
He went up 74 grand, and that was pretty nice. Most people have jumped on him. He's nearly in half the teams. But as expected, Aaron Sanderlands, he had the third biggest jump there. He's gone up 69,000, and I suppose with that, just about everyone's got him. He's one of the most popular players in the comp. I think he is the most popular player in the comp.
There's still 30% of people not doing it.
Yeah, don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're not listening to us.
What were they thinking?
Him there. And then Jared Pollock was in the top few. However, biggest surprise for me, Calvin, one of your alumni of Team Calvin,
Matthew Wright.
Nathan Jones.
Oh, Jonesy!
Oh, my goodness.
How did he get in there?
He is the form player of the comp at the moment.
He's
massive. He is averaging the most at the minute. He's averaging 138 per round because he's had two thumping scores. So
you may know him as Mr. Negative 7 for a
half. Oh, my God. I don't think we have time for that story today.
Don't.
Yeah, so he's up there. So that's a little bit of a surprise packet, I suppose, with these new price-changing things. I guess he was fairly cheap because he did start down in the low 400s, but
that's amazing.
He's getting himself up there.
Now, some of our real big dogs have come out to play.
Oh, yes.
They came at a cost, but they've really backed it up and actually increased in price. Who do we like there?
Yeah, well, definitely, I suppose, the scorers from last week, as we've talked about before, Steve Johnson, 153, Scott Pendlebury, 152. Pendles is in some form at the moment. He's looking really good.
The baton has been changed there at Pyland, hasn't it? He's untaggable.
When we were thinking about it for them, we had Swan, we had Beams, and thinking about ahead to buys so that we didn't have too many buys, Pendles was kept on being forgotten, at least by me. I know you blokes.
Oh, but even in that buy round, you've got Joel Selwood, Stevie J, Gary Ablett.
Yeah,
you know, they're
tough.
All in
Koch.
There. It's amazing to have. Look, can I give you a little inside word here about Pendles?
Yes.
Smashes Geelong like you've never seen.
His numbers there are ridiculous.
So should we be looking at getting him in, do you think, this week?
Oh, look, if you've got... Look, he only went up, like, $14,000 he went up, and he's priced at $625, which is a bloody lot of money.
It is.
But with what he's doing, if you can do it, you might as well.
Yeah, he can back it up.
Especially if you did have someone like Swanee and you're looking to offload him.
Now, or if you had, like, Scott Selwood or someone, it's probably worth looking at an upgrade.
Selwood's probably dropped 300.
Yeah, now, speaking of Swanee, he did drop a fair bit of coin. He dropped down, $47,000. So he was almost a number one pick for a lot of guys.
What do you need to see from Swan before you jump on him at this bargain price?
Not sitting in the forward line?
No, you need starting to see in the square.
Yeah. Look, he's got to be in the midfield. Look, he had 68 points last week.
Yeah.
Which, what did he have the week before? It was like 90-something.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, but look, he has got to be getting out at least a couple of consistent 120-plus scores before you're even going to consider getting him back.
I asked him about starting in the forward line earlier today.
Yep.
You know what he said?
No.
What? He's not happy. No, really?
He was furious.
I reckon.
All right, looking at some of the other price drops there. The biggest one of all was Ryan O'Keefe, who started the first game against GWS in the vest because he was a late inclusion,
yep,
and then struggled for about a 40 or so,
yeah,
on the weekend. So he went down 92K. Other big drops were guys that aren't very popular and probably not in our... Like, if they're in your consideration this year, you're probably not playing the game. They're
probably
right
on my shortlist.
They are. Drew Petrie, Nathan Foley, Brock McLean after that dismal effort on Thursday night. Travis Cloke, a little bit disappointed. We might be able to get him a bit cheaper later on, though, because he's someone that can be one of those top guys, I think.
Yep.
But going through that list, some of the more popular dudes, Patrick Dangerfield. So he's down the list a little bit further, but he, $39,000 price drop. He is going to be someone we jump on later on?
He certainly will be. Yeah, I'll have him.
I threw out there into the Twitter sphere this afternoon questions for people that wanted to know about their fantasy sides. And so that'll be a regular thing on this podcast every week. So look out for that and make sure you send us a tweet at AFL Fantasy. All right, the first one comes from Alex Banks. He would like to know, should I trade Caddy or Wright? If you had the choice between them, who should he be trading?
Two wrongs don't make a right, boys. And I've been saying this for a while. I would be trading Wright.
Okay.
Look, I think you have to. Look, from a previous owner, I understand that he is going to be like a bit of a roller coaster path for people, but if you've been burnt like him, like I have before, then I would not be doing it. I would be keeping Caddy and getting rid of Wright.
Yeah, I think he was really hurt last week, Wright, by Douglas coming back, but a fresh injury has popped up in the Crows midfield. He should with Crouch. He should get more time. However, I still like keeping Caddy over Wrighty.
There you go.
Nice. Okay, next question here comes from Patrick. He wants to know if he should keep Swan and Dangerfield. I guess this kind of question is, do we back in these premium sort of players? What are your thoughts on that?
I think you can back them in, but at a cheaper price. I don't think you need to keep both those guys, and definitely a guy like Dangerfield, offloading him. Like he's been poor the last 2 weeks. Well, so Swan. But I think you can wait a few more weeks and pick those guys back up again.
So you think you should trade them off now?
Yep, I would.
Yeah, I'd trade them off to someone on the rise, as long as you've got no other injuries.
Yep.
If you've got the luxury of doing it, you might as well do it. Yeah, definitely with those two. They don't look like improving rapidly anytime soon.
No.
All right, so this one here comes from Michael Baxter. Boys, you're in this boat. To keep Cox or to trade? I'm thinking to trade, but what are your thoughts?
I'm in that boat. Troy's in that boat. So it's going to be really interesting what we say here. I'm going to say no, right?
Yeah.
Firstly, if you haven't done it, like last week, that cost me $70,000, right? So Cox dropped 21.
Are you talking to go to Hickey here?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. And Hickey has already gone up 49.
Yeah.
So that move right there, you've lost 70K.
Yeah.
Okay. The other issue is Hickey's in doubt for this week. Well, we think it's a very, very small amount of doubt that he was basically limping in the last quarter.
Yeah.
And the other thing I like about Cox this week, he could have a 140.
He could, but will he try?
No, probably not.
That's the thing. I really don't know. They had three rucks on rotation.
Yep.
And he just looked lazy and didn't care. Like, there is no excuse for him not to have a touch in the first quarter.
Yep.
That doesn't happen. Why is that happening?
No, that's exactly right. I don't know.
No.
So he's... So far this year, he's played three quarters of footy for his 89 points, and he's just wobbled around after that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I wish I was in a position where I could even look at getting rid of him, but I think I'm covering bigger problems at the moment. As a luxury trade, you could justify it with his prices going down anyway and get rid of him.
Oh, look, although you've lost, as I said, you've lost that 70 grand of the move already, you'll make that back.
There's still more to go. And I think the big part of that is that Hickey, as a Hickey owner, I know that he's not a keeper for me, but there's still a few more price change growths for him, really.
Yeah.
Had 119. Remember, the most recent score counts for more in this new price changing, which we'll know more about, I guess, over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
I think that there's enough there to say, well, that would be a good trade if that's... You know, one of the trades that you've got there in the bank ready to do. All right, next question coming in to the traders via Twitter. Who would you recommend for Corey Enright?
Ooh. For Corey Enright. It's really tricky there. What about Jench?
Yeah. Yes, I like him. What?
Adelaide player. Yes. He started off pretty well.
Yes. For a defender, he's got pig-like tendencies down there. He wants the
pure. You know who he reminds me of?
No.
A successful Greg Broughton.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Back in his day.
Now, do you know, he took 14 marks in the back line.
Yep.
There is going to come a time where he gets a tag on him because he is very attacking, providing him some drive out of there. So he will get tagged back there. But at the moment, he is a mid-price cash cow.
Certainly.
Still,
definitely.
You know,
he made 49 grand on the weekend. That's due to that big 119 points that he did have. He's averaging 100, so, you know, he's 80 from the first week. That's that's pretty solid.
Oh, definitely.
But, yeah, for his price, he's still got some growth left.
Yeah, so he's still a value pick. So if you need some money to fix up someone that is a good place to grab it.
I reckon another guy that's worth considering, if you haven't got him, I think David Swallow's a real deal.
Oh,
and if you don't have him, I think he's probably almost that sort of straight swap. You make 50 grand out of that as well. So it's worth doing, I think.
If you're looking for someone safe, your Simpson, your Hibbard, I think they're both fine.
Yep, good. All right, next question that we have got coming in via the Twitter. Apart from Rewalt, who are some forwards that you think you should be getting? Who are some guys that are sitting there that are worth looking at?
I like Tom Mitchell. He didn't do anything sensational the other day, but he still plotted away for a very respectable score. Chappie is hard to look past at the moment.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't it?
And I am a proud Chappie owner.
I know you are.
And I'm a very proud Bomber supporter as well, because that is the trade of the year so far.
Oh, it is. It's amazing.
And another guy I reckon back there in the forward line as well would be Zorka.
Definitely.
He's been very impressive.
He's averaging 111.5 points and probably boosted by that massive 130. What are our thoughts on him? He's not going to keep up the 130s, but can he improve a fair bit on
that?
He's
been a gun before,
last
year. Yeah, he has. And he just had that,
second year blues. He's back to third year breakout.
And
he
looks
ticked a lot of boxes,
He looks good to go.
Getting a big run through the midfield. I'm not sure what Rocky coming back will do. It shouldn't affect it too much, but I guess that could be a slight issue. Chad Wingard's been awesome.
Yep, he's been very, very solid. Another guy that I picked up that I've been quite happy with is Luke Dalhouse.
Yeah,
Roy, you jumped on that one too.
Yes, I did. So, surprising I didn't stuff that one up for you. But
he's averaging right on the 100, so that's a very, very solid start. So he's someone worth thinking about there too. Last question for today's show comes from Dunny. Can I please have unlimited trades again this week to fix a rabble I currently coach?
I can totally relate to you here, Dunny. I would kill for more trades. I was saying to the boys earlier, if they challenged me at the start of last week to spend the salary cap and to pick the team that would score the lowest for the round, I don't think I could have nailed a 48-point captain to go with all that other rabble. Like, for example, Darren Glass, I would have chucked a C on him. He got the same as Selwyn. What the hell?
Rightio. Now, we're into the full swing of it this week.
It's real now.
It's real. And leagues start this week, so make sure your leagues are full.
Yeah, make sure they're full. If they're not, you can add, like, a celebrity coach.
Like who?
For example, Kieran Jack.
Oh, yeah.
No, there's plenty of guys there you can add. And if you want to take on us, you can do that. If you want an easy beat, put Roy in your league.
Oh, geez, you're copping it.
No comment.
But, yeah, no, that's what it's all about. So, yeah, make sure those leagues are full so that they can start up. And, yeah, it's all about that banter. Make sure you send plenty of text messages and stuff and use the coaches box on the website to make sure that you are chirping it up.
Don't wake this sleeping giant. You never know what you'll get.
Thanks for joining us.
Good luck this week.